Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about these resources, please visit sbcconline.org. God bless you.
I will trust in you.
Yes, Lord, we will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong. Father, we thank you for your lovely presence as we go into your word. Like Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, we will not leave this place. We ask that your presence will go with us into the word. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Father, anoint me afresh. Help me speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so this word will flow, your word will flow freely from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray, Lord God, as I speak, that the power of the Spirit of God be released in great and sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I further pray and ask that I will deliver the word with precision. Lord God, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say. Bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all blessings mentioned in their individual lives, agreed individually and said, this afternoon I have a very important prophetic instructional message for us. I have been hinting about this message for some time in church. And I've entitled it, Children, Disciples, and Sons. Under brackets, you could put insulators, conductors, and superconductors. But that would be like in brackets under. I would say children, disciples, and sons. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 14. It says, I write unto you, little children, I didn't hear you, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, I didn't hear you. We had the fathers here. I said, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let me, because it struck me by the Spirit. You know, if I don't say it, I may not say it again, I may not remember. You know, that Ephesians 4 that Pastor Laolu quoted from when he was introducing the church was what gave me to start, you know, as the vision for my ministry, you know, back in 1980. And then we didn't implement it until 1984. When we say Scripture Pastor Christian Center. Now, what I want to say is this. You need to read that thing carefully or else you will miss what he said. What he said was this: he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, this is where people miss it. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He did not say all of us will come to this. He said we will come to the unity of that knowledge. It's a big difference. Not every Christian is going to come to that. Now it's not because it's not the will of God. Just like it's the will of God for everybody to get born again, not everybody gets born again. It's the will of God for everybody to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but not everybody gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the will of God that every Christian grows to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But sadly, you know, just like in the other two cases, you know, not everybody does that. However, they will come a unity of that knowledge of the Son of God. That knowledge of the Son of God that brings you to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It will become so common knowledge, there will be unity of knowledge about it. Just like today, 100 years, over 100 years after the Azusa Street revival and the restoration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, today, the speaking in tongues is universally accepted in the body of Christ. Even amongst the denominational churches, the Anglican and the Methodist and the Catholics and the mainline that initially resisted it. Now, all of them may not experience it, but nobody today says that tongues is of the devil like they used to say 100 years ago, 60 years ago, 50 years ago, even when I got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, there was still controversy. But today there's no more. Now, not everybody has the experience, but there is a unity of the knowledge of speaking in tongues in the body of Christ, whether people experience it. All they can say is that, well, it's not for everybody to all speak in tongues. So some of them may not experience it. But they all agree. Everybody now, Baptist, Pentecostal, you know, denominational churches, even the Catholics, even the Catholic Church, God penetrated the Catholic Church. So we now have charismatic Catholics. So not everybody in Catholic Church speaks in tongues, but they all agree. Now, the same thing is going to happen with perfection and the fullness of Christ. We will all come into the unity, firstly, of the faith and of that knowledge. We don't have it now, but we're coming into it. And that's what John was talking about. He said, you've known him. These fathers have that knowledge and the experience too. You know, you've known him. You've known him. Jesus was the one who's from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You know, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known him, or rather you have known the Father. Verse 14, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. That's something. It's like a repetition. I discussed something about the Bible. Nothing is superfluous. When God repeats something, he's trying to get a message across, which is what I try to expatiate on. I've written unto you, young men, I didn't hear you, because you're strong and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. These scriptures reveal to us three, they're actually four. There's another scripture, it's in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, you know, desire the sincere milk of the word, you know, that you may grow thereby, you know, as newborn babies. There are four levels of spiritual growth. I would say baby, little child, young man, and fathers. Let's repeat it. Say baby, little child, young man, and father. This message I'm giving you is, I'm not going to go into all those details about baby and little child and all of that. We have children, ever say children. We have disciples, and we have sons. The will of God is for every Christian to go from being a child to becoming a disciple. Every born-again Christian is a child of God. But sadly and regrettably, not every born-again Christian is a disciple. And what the problem God is having on the earth today is that majority of the church want to stay as children. They don't want to become disciples. And that's what we're going to be looking at in a minute. They don't want to become disciples because discipleship requires discipline. It requires self-denial. It requires, you know, sacrifice. And people don't want that. They just want to stay as children. They want to be blessed. They want manna from heaven. They want God to feed them, God to bless them, God to heal them, God to deliver them, you know. And that's not wrong, but it becomes wrong when you want to stay there. And then it is only disciples that ultimately become sons. We use the expression sons of God very loosely, but majority of the church are not sons. Majority of the church, as I speak this afternoon, are children. Even people who are pastors and bishops, and that many of them are just spiritual children. They've been Christians for a long time, but like Paul said in the book of Hebrews, he said, by reason of time, you ought to be teachers, but you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have need of milk. Milk is for children and babies, and not of meat. Writing to the Corinthian church, he said, I could not speak as unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babies, children. Majority of the church, I can't put a percentage on it because I'm not God. Only God has those accurate statistics in heaven. But I know, I can say like Jesus said, many, majority. Majority of the church are children. And that's one of the reasons for this message. It is an inspirational, instructional, prophetic message to stir us up. Like Paul said, and Pastor Lau quoted that when he was, you know, talking about the vision of the church, that we be no more children. Now, God is happy when we get born again and we're children, but he doesn't want us to stay as children. There will be no more children tossed about. And that's the characteristics of children. Instability. Tossed about with every wind of doctrine. And the sleight of men in cunning craftiness, whereby the lying way deceive. But speaking the truth in love. Now become a disciple. So you can grow up into him in a few things. All the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And that vision must become clear. Habakkuk says, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables, so that he that seeth it may run. The purpose of this message is two or threefold. Number one, to write the vision and make it clear. Secondly, to motivate you. This is the real motivational message, not the ones that we're, you know. To motivate you to run. So, in Galatians chapter 4, and this is why children are insulators. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me say it. Galatians chapter 4, I'm just going to read one verse. Because of time, I don't want to go into all the other details. He says, now I say, who is talking? Paul. The Holy Spirit through Paul. Now I say, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. Let me just stop there. If you are a child of God, you are Lord of all, but it's not going to be manifest. You don't differ anything from a servant. Children, because of their immaturity, cannot be trusted with their inheritance. So the inheritance is never given to them. It's given to governors, you know, in our modern monarchies, they say regents. For instance, if a king dies and his eldest son is 8 years old or 5 years old, he is king, but a regent, maybe his mother or an uncle, will rule in his stead until he grows up before he can take the throne. He is not allowed to, because he's only 5 years old. What does he know? How can he administer the kingdom? Spiritually, the same thing is happening. Many Christians are still spiritual children. And spiritual growth is not a function only of time. It's a function of what you've done with that time. That's why Paul said, by reason of time. You can have been a Christian for 50, 20 years and still be a child. Another person can have been a Christian for 5, 10 years and that person has already grown into a young man. Whereas the other person who's been a Christian for 40 years can still be a child. I've experienced it in my life. Because I've been a Christian now, like I said earlier on, for 41 years. Since 1979. You know, and I've pastored for 35 years. 1934, 36 years this year. You know, I've seen people come and go. I've seen people be in church for years and they're still little children. And I've seen people who've been in church for 15 years and they've grown. They've outgrown the people who've been in church for 20 years, 25 years. I've seen it. One of the reasons for this very, very important message. Therefore, children, spiritually speaking now, you know, to use the insulator, conductor, and superconductor illustration, are spiritual insulators. The power of God cannot flow through them to any appreciable degree. They can't be trusted because they are children. They are immature. If you put that kind of power in their hands, they will not only destroy themselves, they'll destroy a lot of other people. So, even though they are children of God, they are not sons of God. And their bodies, their physical bodies, cannot conduct the power of God to any appreciable degree. Now, let's go from children to disciples. Who are disciples? Disciples are Christians who begin to practice the disciplines of Christ. That's where the Greek word, or the English word disciple comes from. The root is discipline. Now, that's the key there. Without discipline, you can't become a disciple. If you do not become a disciple, you can never become a son. Only disciples become sons. And I'm going to talk about sons at two levels, you know, when I get to sons. Only disciples become sons. Now let's look at Jesus' definition, an expectation of a disciple. First of all, let's go to Luke chapter 14. This is an amazing scripture, a statement from the lips of the Master himself. And I'm going to look at verses 26 and 27. This is one of the scriptures that cause people to stumble. This is one of the scriptures that people will take and misuse and misapply. I remember in the early 70s when the SU movement gained traction here in Nigeria. Even my wife, you know, my wife was an SU. You won't believe it, but she was. You know, she was in St. Anne's, you know, and Brother Ibeneme, Lady Beneme of blessed memory, used to go to St. Anne's to go and preach to all those little girls. So all of them started removing the hem of their school uniform, you know, because so that it would not be mini skirts. So you remove the hem and make the thing longer. She was one of them, praise the Lord. So one of her teachers said, Olusha, Ogbemi. That means Olusha, you have the spirit now, eh? That's long, long, long ago. You know, so many. I while that was happening to anybody, it was happening to me in Lagos. You know, I was in secondary school in CMS. I joined the CMS, you know, they used to call it SCM. You know, I've forgotten what it, you know. You know, scripture, student Christian movement. Because my one of my seniors, he's still around, you know. His name is Dendi Akingbade. He's still around. You know, lovely Christian brother. You know, he later on became senior prefect. You know, but he was in Form 3 when I was in Form 1. In those days, a Form 3 boy is God. He's not like God. He's God. You know, we don't have all of those things anymore. But you know those things, they had their good part. They gave us a fear of authority. When you were in Form 1, you used to wear short knicker. Form 3 and Form 4, they wear long knicker. You cannot see a Form 3 boy coming and stand. Immediately you see them, you... And in the dormitory, we were all in the same house, in Gordon House, you know, they'll just say, "Omo kombe." When they say that, every Form 1 boy will rush to where it is. Because if you don't go, you are in big trouble. So one day, Senior Akinbade, and you don't call them by name. Who born you? Senior ni. So Senior Akinbade said, "Johnson!" That's how they talk to you. There's no please. There's no, "Oh, do you want to consider this? Oh, you know, oh, go, we're inviting you for this." "Johnson! SCM meeting! You must be there!" End of story. End of story. And I was there. All the way to Calvary he went for me. We were all children. God brought us in. But most of us didn't understand what we were doing. We didn't really get born again. I probably got born again later, tangentially, but it really didn't stick, you know. But the point I'm making is this. So many of us had that little touch from the Lord. And God wanted to take us further. But the knowledge and the understanding was not there in those days. So Jesus said, and so many people misunderstood things then. They would, you know, let me read this scripture and then I'll go on. It says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife," read it too, "and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot," everybody say cannot. He didn't say will not, he said cannot be my disciple. Now, this is what made me talk about the SU thing. This SU movement, a lot of the young people at that time, including myself and my wife, and many other little young little children, they were told this without the proper balance. So they didn't know how to handle it. How can you tell me to hate my mommy and to hate my father and to hate? And some people literally took it like that. Some people abused their parents. Some people left their homes. This was in the 70s. These things happened. I remember, you know, through the different... They hadn't started churches then, but we had these movements and ministries. Some children left school. They would not study. "I'm a disciple of Jesus. You know, I hate my own life." You know, they left their... They would insult their parents. They said, "Jesus said, I should hate my mother and I should hate my father." Whereas that's not really what Jesus is saying. Even though he actually used those words, I will explain as I go along. But that was what led to a lot of people say, don't let those children become... So when you said SU, in the 70s, you know, I'm talking about, you know, the early and mid 70s, 1971, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78... If your parents hear SU, that you go to any camp, immediately they will discard. They will forbid you because of this kind of teaching. How can you hate your mother and your father and all of that? And there's truth there. You know, like my wife says often, quoting what I said some years ago, even in nonsense, there is sense. And Pastor Andrew was sharing with my wife and I recently that in fact, in nonsense, you know, 5 letters are actually sense. Only 3 are nonsense. So there is a lot of sense in nonsense. Are you listening to me? And so, you know, it put a lot of people off. You know, and because so many people did so many... I know people who left their studies in UI. You know, I still remember one particular person. He came from Government College, Ibadan. Brilliant fellow. Brilliant. Pastor Boyga will know him. you know, I'm not going to mention the name, you know, he left. He said God, Jesus had called him. He's a disciple. He was a medical student. You know how difficult it was to enter medical school. Went to Arizona because Jesus was going to come back in the desert. And of course, it never happened. And his life just went. You know, so when people talk about discipleship, they get afraid because of the excesses that came in the 70s. Herein is this scripture in reality. The letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. Yes, Jesus said so. But keep it in its context. And then look at his own life. Did Jesus hate his brother? Did he hate his mommy? Did he hate his father? Did he hate his sister? They all were there on the day of Pentecost. Jesus didn't hate them. What Jesus was talking about was comparison. That put me on a higher priority than your mother, your father, your brothers, your sister, even your own life. And this is why so many Christians are not disciples. Because they can say with their mouth, but their heart is far from it. Do you put Jesus on a higher priority than your husband or your wife, your mother, your father, your children, even your own life? I remember it was W.F. Kumuyi, the head of the Deeper Life. You know, he had a lot of following back then, you know, and they did a lot of good things, but there were also some things that, you know, weren't so okay. But one good thing I remember Brother Kumuyi saying, he said, throw your life in the air and let God catch it. Throw your life in the air and let God catch it. What was he saying? He was saying, completely depend on God. And God is a good catcher. If you play cricket or you play baseball, you know what I'm talking about. No matter how complicated it was, God will catch it. Your life will not strike the floor and be destroyed. Give the Lord a clap offering. So, understanding of discipleship. So, he now says in verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, again, he uses a very strong word, cannot. In other words, discipleship, let me keep it simple, requires complete and total commitment. If you are not totally committed, you cannot be a disciple. And sadly and regrettably, majority of Christians are not totally committed to God. They are committed, though, but not totally. They are not totally committed to God. If anything of the kingdom begins to touch on their comfort, that's what I was saying earlier on about the first century Christians. The first century Christians, that first set that got born again after the day of Pentecost, the first one, like, you know, 70, 100 years, they were a different brand because they came out of Jesus' ministry directly. They saw what happened to Jesus on the cross and they made a complete and total commitment to the Lord. Some of them lost their homes. The Roman government would confiscate their houses. They lost their families. Some of them, their parents were killed. Their children were killed. So they were thrown to lions. Yet, their commitment to God never wavered. That type of commitment is the commitment the 21st century church must now have. Hence this message. Disciples. Disciples are not half committed. They are totally committed. They are ready to lay down their lives if necessary. Now, though, you don't go about just throwing your life away. No. But you must get to the point in your Christian life where you are ready to lay down your life if it is necessary. Let me use the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That gives us, that's why you need to know the whole Bible. It will give you a clarity to what I'm saying. Nebuchadnezzar called them and said, bow to my idol. They said, oh king, we are not careful to master. This is discipleship. Total commitment. We are not careful to answer you in this matter. The God we serve is able to deliver us from the fire. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. That is total commitment. They believed God would deliver them and he did. But they were ready to die in the fire if God didn't do it, for whatever reason in his sovereignty. That type of commitment is lacking in the church today. Most Christians are very, you know, weak, lily-livered. We don't have a soldier's mentality. A soldier, we talked, we've done the prayer, Pastor Williams was praying, 21st century militant Zion church mentality. You know, a soldier, when he goes to the war front, he knows he can die. He believes he will not die. He takes precautions so that he doesn't die. But the reason why he agreed to go to the war front in the first place was his total commitment to his profession, and he was ready to put his life on the line. How many Christians are ready to put their life on the line? Very few. Anything that's going to cost them any inconvenience, most Christians of today will back away from it. They call it, it's a fanatic. Like Kenneth Copeland said some years ago, I like it, it makes me chuckle. A fanatic is only someone who loves God more than you do. You cannot be a disciple if you have not made a total commitment. Turn to your neighbor and say, discipleship requires total, complete, not 90%, not 85%, total 100% commitment to God and his word. Let's make it practical. What does it mean practically? It means that a disciple is one who will do anything the Bible says without reservation. Let me make it simpler. A disciple is one who is ready to practice whatever the Bible says, no matter how difficult it looks. He's going to take that step. He's not going to shrink back because, that thing can hurt me, or something can happen to me. What will happen to me? What will happen to my life? What will happen to my, to this or to that? That's why he used those words. Mother. These are the most precious things to people in the natural. Mother, father, children, wives, or husband, sisters. Then Jesus went a step further. He said, even your own life. These are not Olubi Johnson's words. They are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to be a disciple, you need in your heart to make a total commitment to God. Ready to lay everything down, whether it's your father, whether it's your mother, whether it's your wife, whether it's your children, whether it's your sisters, even if it is your own life, in order to follow Jesus and do what he tells you to do. That is the requirement. It's a decision. It doesn't mean that you're going to lay down your father or you're going to lay down your mother. It doesn't practically, because I can tell you from personal experience, I've been a disciple. And by the grace of God, I'm a son. I'm not a manifested son yet. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I am a son, by the grace of God, And I've actually done these things. When I first got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, I left Imperial College. I left England. My parents were livid. Angry! You spend so much money on you. Sent you to London. You say God called you. Are you mad? What kind of God calls you? I'm telling you what happened. And my relationship with my parents was strained for some years. I know what Jesus is talking about. No, I didn't hate my parents, but I put Jesus and the calling of God on my life above what my parents thought. And they didn't like it. Later on, they changed. My dad changed. My mom changed. My brothers, my friends. My relatives. Everybody thought I was mad. I remember on my 50th birthday, the brethren, they got in touch. I gave them the name of some of my friends, and they wrote inside the program, who we grew up together in Ikoyi. Some of my close friends, we all grew up. Many of them are Christians today. And one of them said, when Olubi became a Christian, we all thought he was mad. This is the truth. We all thought that, what a brilliant boy. Eh? Look, his parents spent so much money on him. He went to England, then came back, didn't, you know, came back and said he's preaching. But years later, that person got born again. He said, now we know who was crazy and who was sane. One of my friends, he's still around, you know, very close, you know, very, very good friend of mine. What am I saying? Discipleship requires total commitment, and it will be tested in prioritizing. Sometimes God will ask you to do some things that will require you to put God on a higher priority than some of these other relationships we've spoken. That's what he meant by hate. He doesn't mean you should literally hate your mommy and your father. No. He's saying, put your love for me and your commitment to me on a higher priority than your father, your mother, your children, your wife, everything. Even your own life. If it's going to risk your life. And, you know, drawing from my own experience again, you know, when I left England and I came back to Nigeria, Satan told me he was going to kill me. And it was not for want of trying. I've given you the story. I'm not going to go into all the details. Within, you know, I came back in late 1980. You know, by 1981, you know, I had one accident in 1981. I had another accident in 1982. I had a third one in 1983. And he kept telling me, he said, you know, I told you, I want to kill you. Now, I had two options. The first option was to say, I'm not doing it again, oh. Let me just take it easy. You know, I don't want to die. Or to say, God, I made that commitment when I was in England. I said, even if you kill me, I'll go to heaven. Now, I didn't want to die, certainly. But I actually, literally, I have to use a practical example you can understand. Literally, I have to put my commitment to God above my life. And I didn't die. But it was not because he didn't try. He did. Not once, not twice, not three times. And all the time God was able to deliver me because I learned the principles of the Word of God, prayed, walked in the Spirit, and all of those things. But you see, that's what a disciple is. A disciple is one who has made a total commitment to God, putting God and his commitment to God above his physical comforts and relationships. Mother, father, wife, children, career, that would be your own life. You know, that's what I did. And that's the example God wants us to follow. Then in verse 27, he says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Then in verse 28, 29, and 30, I'm not going to go all there. You know, he says, you need to count the cost. Discipleship costs. And you need to appraise it and make sure, okay, I'm ready to pay the price. If called upon, I am ready to pay the price. Honey, as I'm speaking, God just put me into remembrance of the missionaries that came to Africa in the 1817 and 1800s, and some of them in the early 1900s. Those were disciples. In those days, it's not like today, where you go to England and then you just fly by 747 and you are back in 6 hours. Most of the time, when you made a commitment to become a missionary, I'm talking about the Mary Slessors, the David Livingstones, and a whole army of ones we don't even know their names, but God is honoring them in heaven. Give them a clap offering. We will not be here today if not for some of those wonderful men and women. They left the comfort of England. There was nothing here. No electricity. Most of our people were at that time were still very barbaric. Some of them were cannibals. Not all, but some. The white man, for you to leave England and come to Africa as a missionary was like a death sentence. And most of them died. If the cannibals didn't kill you, and the barbaric people did not kill you, the malaria will kill you. But that's how wave after wave. Give the Lord another clap offering.
Ah! We must become disciples. This generation is full of a lot of weak-kneed, you know, Christian, because we've been fed on this baby stuff. But that day is over. I said that day is over. Those men and women, magnificent. They came from Plymouth. They came from London. They came from Scotland. They came from Ireland. Some of them in their 20s. Some of them married. Some of them not married. And said, God called me. I will go. Almost a sure death sentence. Because there was no guarantee you would come back. If the malaria didn't catch you, the people can kill you with a sword or with a spear. When one dies, another one will come. Hakashile. Give them another clap offering. When one dies, another, maybe three or four will come. They will give the report back to the church in England. They will contribute money and send another one. And send another one. Those are disciples. And that's what God wants us to become. Many of us are not disciples. We're children. We're not disciples. We don't have that life of commitment. And one of the reasons why we don't have that level of commitment is because it's not preached. So see, I'm preaching this now. How many messages like this do you hear today? Of complete discipleship. Total discipleship. People see it as fanaticism. It's not fanaticism. I'm giving the balance. After all, I'm here. I didn't die. Give the Lord a clap offering. My wife is here. We didn't die. Our parents didn't like a lot of things we did. They fought with us. For years, we were outcasts in the family. They won't abuse you. They just treat you like a leper. But with time, it changed. Today, by the grace of God, we're now an example. And then they now want to follow us. They now see that we were not that crazy. Now, let's move on. So that's what a disciple is. One who has total, I have to spend time, the Holy Spirit wanted me to spend time to go to the depth, total commitment. Because these kind of messages are not common. You don't hear them. I think I'm going to split this message into two. I don't think I can finish everything today. You know, and it's that important. You need to have total commitment to Jesus on a higher priority than any natural commitment you have. Family, career, business, whatever. Jesus comes first. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus comes first. Oh, you didn't say it properly. You didn't say it like people who mean it. You said it like somebody whose pastor is forcing you to say it. You haven't finished. Say, Jesus comes first. And stays first forever. Give the Lord a clap offering. That is discipleship. Now, let me go from disciple to sons. And I'm going to come to the how in a minute. You know, what is a son? Before I leave disciple, let me say this. I'm going to come back to it in more detail probably next week. But let me just mention it because I'm not going to finish it today. Because of time, you know, but let me just mention it. It comes from the root word discipline. So a disciple is one who practices with this total commitment I've spoken about as a foundation, who practices these disciplines of Christ. And there are four of them I'm going to expand it next week. I'm not going to be able to finish it today. The first one is humility. The Bible says that Jesus was heard because of his reverence. One of the things that made the Father and the Holy Spirit exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and give him a name above every other name was his humility, because he was God. He left that comfort. He left all of that and took upon himself the form of a servant with a risk of not coming back. If you don't believe that, you don't understand the gospel. Now, of course, he came back. But there was a risk. That's why he said, Father, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I'm going to hell. Don't leave me there. There was a risk. Gosh, I just got a text. You know what Jesus did? His commitment to the plan of redemption was put on a higher priority than his fellowship with the Father and the Holy Ghost. Give him a clap offering. Oh, you didn't get that. Here was somebody, God, the second person of the Godhead, comfortable in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. He put the commitment to the plan of redemption on a higher priority than his fellowship with the Father. He was ready to lose the fellowship with the Father and with the Holy Ghost to do the will of God. Give him a clap offering. That's why he is Lord. That's why he is Lord. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's why he's Lord. He's not Lord by mouth. He's Lord by commitment and action. It could have gone wrong. Thank God it didn't. And he would have been trapped here. Number one. Number two, he would get up early in the morning. That's a discipline most Christians. Thank God for good morning Jesus. Let's give mommy a clap offering. Amen. You know that forum. That's one of the reasons why God brought it 2 years ago. To begin to prepare disciples for the glory that's coming now. If we started now, it would be too late. Number three. Praying with all kinds of prayer. In the days of the age of prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears. You know, it's not easy. The flesh doesn't want to pray. And if you don't have that full commitment, once you do it for 1 or 2 weeks, if the thing is hard on you, you just leave it. That's what happens to most Christians. That's why they don't become disciples. Number four, he said, I do always those things that please him. He prayed at least 4 times every day. That's why they said, teach us to pray. The Bible said he was in a certain place praying. And when he ceased, his disciples came to him and said, teach us. They saw him do it. Kept the word in his mouth, in his heart, and he did it. He practiced it. We'll look at the details next week. But this is discipleship. With the foundation of the total commitment, then you start practicing these things. Humility, getting up early in the morning, praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit, even when your head is paining you. Amen. You can't say amen, say oh me. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Why don't people pray with groaning? It's not easy on the flesh when you first start it. The flesh doesn't want to groan. Strong crying, he called it. Number, keep the word of God in your heart, mouth, day and night. What I was talking about earlier on, you know, positive confession, saying the word of God, I love God with all my heart, then praying in tongues. Initially, when I first started it, it was very difficult. And it was very unpleasant. And if I didn't know what I knew and I had not made the commitment, I would have dropped it. Which is what so many Christians have done. Just drop it. But if you drop it, you will never become a disciple. Now let me leave it. Sons, and then next week I'm going to expand it. What is a son? A son, there are two kinds of sons. There are mature sons and there are manifested sons. A son is a Christian who has been a disciple and through the process of discipleship has matured has come into maturity, young manhood and fatherhood. That's why we read 1 John first. That's what a son is. A manifested son is a little bit different. He's a son. But the life of God is now manifest in the mortal flesh, having transformed it. So it can, that flesh or that son can manifest the glory of God at the same level Jesus did, and like Jesus said, greater. That's what a son is. A manifested son is. To see this distinction, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look from verses 10 through 15. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read it through in the King James first, and then I'll just pick one or two verses in the Amplified Bible. That I may know him. Turn to your neighbor and ask a rhetorical question. Didn't Paul already know God? The person who's writing this thing is Paul. Hello? The Paul that has Jesus appeared to him on the road of Damascus, the Paul that wrote Romans, 1 Thessalonians, and he's saying that I may know him. So turn to your neighbor and say there is knowing and there is knowing. Paul! The Paul that the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul to the work which I've called them. The Paul that went to Lystra and healed a man that was lame from his mother's womb. And they came to worship him and Barnabas as if they are gods. This same Paul said that I may know him. You see, there's something wrong with us in the 21st century. We are so presumptuous. If Paul can be saying that I may know him, it means that you still have a long way to go. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Some of these things I spoke about earlier on. That's part of the cross. Being made conformable unto his death. In other words, you begin to lay down your life for others like Jesus did on the cross. You don't go to the cross. You don't go to a physical cross. You go to a spiritual cross. And by the Spirit, you crucify the flesh. And you now give life for others. Say that life, you know, death worketh in us, but life in you. When you go and get life from God through prayer, then you spend hours in prayer and intercession. God now takes power and life out of you and blesses other people who may not be praying and all of that. Saves them, gets them born again, protects them, gives them covering, you know, heals them, causes them to have victory in their life. They won't even know where it came from. But you are the one dying spiritually. That's conformable to his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Again, this word resurrection is there, but he's not talking about the glorious resurrection. He's talking about the transformation of the physical body, where the sin nature in the physical body has been totally flushed out by the power of the Holy Spirit, the word of the life of God. Having our bodies washed with pure water, the scripture says. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's what he's talking about. So he's saying that I might... He hadn't got it. Can you believe Paul hadn't got it? Wrote 2/3 of the New, and he hadn't yet got there. John got it later. I like to use the word John tasted it. Because it was actually reserved for the third day, this 21st century. But they could see it afar off and taste of it. Verse 12. Not as though I were already perfect. I had already attained. I didn't hear you. Either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Let's keep it simple. Paul is saying, I want to make mine a personal experience of what has already been legally purchased for me. Jesus has made it available, but I have not yet experienced it. Thank God for E.W. Kenyon. Give him another capital offering. E.W. Kenyon makes this distinction. I read it from his books. It made things clear to me. And it is this. There's the legal side of redemption and there's the vital side. Your child of God, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. You're not going to be healed. You were healed. Amen? It's legal. It's been apprehended, but have you apprehended it? That's a completely different matter. A lot of people read things in the Bible and they say, oh, you know that. Yes, it's being done. You're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. It's true. All those are legal. That's what you have legal. That's what Jesus has apprehended. But for you, it's a completely different matter for you to now, by faith, apprehend it and make it your own personal experience. The transformation of the physical body. the life of God being manifested has already been apprehended by Christ. But you and I now, and that's what we're going to look at next week in more detail, have to now practically make sure we apprehend it for ourselves personally in our own personal experience. And so the Apostle Paul says, brethren, verse 13, I count not myself, I didn't hear you, to have apprehended. But this, that is, I haven't got it yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. I have to forget my past failures and my past victories. You see, something about victory is this. Most Christians, when they have a victory, they like to coast and rest on their oars. And they talk about what God did. And it's great, you know, but don't stop there. That's not where I'm going. You see, marriage is not where I was going. I thank God for God giving me a good wife. Children is not where I'm going. I thank God for the children God gave me. A nice house, a good car is not where I'm going. I thank God for giving me a nice car and a good house. A nice ministry like this and all these brethren here, you know, it's good, you know, and I thank God for it. But that's not where I'm going. That's not where I'm going. And if I look around like silly Nebuchadnezzar, who went around the palace in Babylon and said, has not my hand. You look around, you have good wife, good children, good house, good ministry, good money in the bank, good this, good that, and you say, I've arrived. You just deceived yourself. That's not the goal of our Christianity. Those are just byproducts of walking with God. That's not where we're going. And you must not rest on your oars simply because you've got a few victories. Forgetting the things that are behind. Forget those victories. And if you have failed, forget the failures. And let the mercy of God move you forward. Forgetting the things which are behind. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is the transformation of the physical body. So your body will become like the body of the Son of God. And when people touch you like the woman with the issue of blood, they will get healed instantly. It's coming. I believe we're going to see it in a few weeks' time. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the earth has never seen it. The only time we saw it was with Jesus. Even in the Acts of the Apostles, they didn't have it. They tasted a little of it in the beginning. Peter and his shadow will hit people on the streets of Jerusalem. Thank God for that. But the Bible says the glory of this latter house. Give the Lord a clap offering somebody. It'll be greater than that of the former. Jesus said, and I believe every word of his mouth, we will do what he did and greater. That's why the world is going to be amazed. They will say, this is our God. We have waited for him. For the whole creation is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Am I talking to anybody here? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to close with verse 15. And then we'll take it from there next week. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Now, give this to me, the Amplified Bible or New International. Let's look at both of them. Okay, let us therefore, well, good, this is okay. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. That's why it is the transformation. That's where God is calling us to. Until this physical body is transformed, you have not arrived. And I just got another tweet from the Holy Ghost. And even after it has been transformed, you must still continue to pray. Jesus, after the glory, still maintained a disciplined prayer life. The tendency, because we have this stupid mentality, the tendency is that once people okay, we've arrived. So, you know, I don't pray anymore like I used to. No! You even need to pray more. You see, Jesus never played with prayer. even after the glory. He would, once miracles happened, he fed the 5,000. After that, they wanted to make him a king. He completely shut them down. Shut up, go away. You know, when they said he went up to the mountain and spent time in prayer. It must not be any different with us. Let those of us who are spiritually mature, turn to your neighbor, say sons, but not manifested sons. We're mature. We're sons, but not manifested. And full grown, have this in mind and hold these convictions. What I've preached to you this afternoon is to give you conviction, determination. I saw this when I was a young boy in Imperial College. That's what has kept me focused over the years. Not prosperity doesn't trickle me, doesn't excite me. I've had it and I still have it and I still have more of it. Do you understand? You know, blessings I've enjoyed. God has been merciful to me. He's given me a lot of blessings. But blessings don't trip me. Nothing is going to satisfy me short of the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is my goal as a Christian. Blessings are just byproducts. And one of the problems of the church today is that we have emphasized blessing above purpose. Emphasize blessing above this. So people live for blessings instead of living for purpose. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, that's the purpose of this message, to change that. Because a lot of us have the wrong attitude of mind. Most of us are serving God for blessing. I want husband. I want wife. I want car. I want good job. I want, you know, food. I want, you know, I want this. I want that. And those things are not wrong. But they become wrong when you make them the goal. That's not the goal of our Christianity. The goal of my Christianity is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And nothing less than that will satisfy me. And should satisfy. So let us have a different attitude of mind. God will make that clear to you also. Stand to your feet. Go and meditate on this message. The day of baby Christianity is over. God appeared to one man. You know, Jesus recently gave 5 hours. I talked about him, Kevin something, you know. I don't even know the guy, you know, properly. But what he said was authentic because he was in line with the word of God. You know what Jesus said? He said, I am tired of lukewarm Christianity. In that vision, I sent it to all of us. I am tired of lukewarm Christianity. Baby, time is over. There will be no more children. You must become a disciple. And then from discipleship, you become a son. Let's talk to God. Talk to God. If you have a different life, God will make this clear to you. You may be mature. Some of us are sons, but we're even very few. Those of us who are even mature. But we're not manifested sons. And until I become a manifested son, I will not be satisfied. And even after that, I will still continue to press on. Let's talk to God. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gained. Every day. In every day. Hallelujah. Still praying on. I onward bound. Lord. Lord, plant my feet on higher. Sing it in the right key.
By faith on earth, unstable
times, a
higher place than I am from.
Lord,
Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I'm pressing on.
I'm pressing on the upward way.
Put the lyrics on the screen.
In every day, still praying on. I onward bound.
Lord,
Lord, plant my feet
on higher ground. Why God had me preach this message, not only for scripture pastor, thank God it's going on the internet. The majority of the church today are not disciples. They don't have that level of commitment. They don't even care about these things. All they want is bread and fish. But that kind of Christian is not going to survive the perils of the end time. I don't say that in a negative kind of way. The other day my wife came here and said 2/3 will be cut off and die. I'm being honest with you. I'm not trying to make you afraid. Though even if I made you afraid, it would be a good thing to put the fear of God into you. But I'm trying to tell you that the days that are ahead of us are going to require total commitment. You will be called upon, if necessary, to lay your life down. You will not die. You will live. But you will go into the lion's den. Make no mistake about it. You will come out of it. But you will enter it. You will go into the fire, but it will not burn you, and you will come out of it. But you must be ready to go into the fire. This baby, child, this Christianity, lukewarm Christianity, stops today. Amen. That's why this message is so important. Next week, I'll talk about superconductors and all of that. I didn't even get there today. Now, there's only one path, higher ground. Touch that heart, raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In particular, the sin of a lack of total commitment, the sin of lukewarmness, the sin of comfortable Christianity, not wanting to lay down my life. Only wanting bread and fish, not wanting to eat your flesh and drink your blood, not wanting to make a total commitment. I repent. I repent. God have mercy on me. I repent of lukewarm Christianity,
comfortable Christianity. And now, according to your word that I have heard this afternoon, I make a commitment by your mercy and grace to become and stay a disciple, putting Jesus and my commitment to him on a higher priority than my wife or husband, my children, my father, my mother, my career, even my physical life. Father, I do not say these words lightly. I make a commitment today to become and to stay a disciple. Not just to be a child of God, but to become a disciple that will now take me on to mature sonship and ultimately manifested sonship. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Nika tolo masha. Father, thank you. Celebrate to fredela mashalaka. Father, thank you. Sapriki tolo mashalo barakoma tolo matufene. Lord Jesus, thank you. Rakaturo matolo matolo matolos. Rika to fredela matolo matufredes. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Jalekiko koko fredengar tolo matufres. Ridolo ma. Father, thank you for your mercies in the prayer. Rakaturo matolo matufredes. Tolo matufrega gama tolo matufredela matufres. Tolo matolo matokoro. Tolo matufrega gama tolo. Tolomos to frega matolo fridias. Tolomatuske, rito fridias. Ria tolomashala. Rico fridias. Rambaraka tolomos. Ria matu fridias. Rapatus to fridias. Non brat. In Jesus' name.
A higher claim than I have found.
Lord, plant my feet.
Lord, plant my feet. On high.
Oh, we need to move on. We close the service now. We love you all. Those at our home, we love you. Everybody here, we love you. I know it's been a hard message. It's like Jesus' message. But that's what God needs now. He's not coming back for a weak church. He's not coming back for a lukewarm church. He's coming back for a fully committed church. A glorious church, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. And he's taking the church now through a grinder. So that what the quality that comes out will be without spot, blemish, or any such thing. The challenges of the end time is going to require discipled Christians. We're going to face different challenges in the days and the months ahead. Weak, beggarly Christianity is not going to survive in what is ahead of us. Don't be afraid. You'll be okay. Perfect love is cast out fear. But you must commit. And soak in the message. And these messages are available on our website. You can download the audio. You can watch it again on YouTube. The good thing about this is you can stop it at a particular place. Open your Bible. Check. This mad Pastor Olubi, is what saying true? I said that jokingly. But that's how people think. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua,
Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a disciple, not just a child, and you're growing to become a manifested son. In Jesus' name. And so you will have no bones broken. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. The music.
Thank you. Believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.